Welcome, DNA. It's Dan here. Just wanted to interject before I hand over to our intro guest for this episode, and just to clear up a few bits and pieces. Sadly, the audio quality on this one isn't great. We recorded it in the front of the van, and it sounds like I was basically eating my microphone. I've cleaned it up a little bit. Hopefully it's listenable. We'll do our best next time to get all that nice and clean and tidy for you. We're a little bit late on this one. We wanted to drop it the day after the Big One show happened, but for various complicated reasons, it never worked out that way. And in a way, it was a blessing because it meant that we were able to get our intro guest, which you'll be hearing very shortly. So this is actually episode 9 and not episode 8, as Ad says on that, because our previous episode, the Lawrence one, got bumped up the list a little bit. So audio quality aside, I hope you find it's worth the wait. It was certainly a great day we had at the Big One show, and particularly at the Law Live exhibition retail show run by Predator Tackle. So without further ado, I hand over to our intro guest. Enjoy.
Hello all, it's Dave Greenland from Predator Tackle. We've just got back from the Big One show at Farnborough, so we're still unpacking. So I'd like to welcome you to the DNA podcast with Dan and Ad.
Welcome to episode 8 of the DNA Fishing Podcast with Dan and Ad. We're in Farnborough today. What have we been doing, Dan?
We've been at the Big One show this year. We haven't been for a few years, have we?
I've not been for yonks.
No, I haven't been for a long, long time. And primarily at Predator Tackle's impressive law section that was called Law Live, I believe it was called today. Was that right?
I don't know, but that's good observational skills.
Yeah. So we fresh back from Japan. We've given it a couple of weeks. We haven't caught up with each other, and we thought today was a good excuse to run up here and we'll have a wander about and spend a few pennies and see what's going on. It's been actually very impressive, right? I was really, really pleased with what we saw today.
Yeah, I'm really, really surprised. I mean, some people will be thinking it's madness to come back from arguably the world's biggest lure fishing show in Osaka and then head on down to the Big One. But far from it. There's lots of positives from today. And the weirdest thing is I think the tackle selection was one of them. I mean, you know, if you want a yardstick, we just spent way too many pennies, yen, in Japan. And yet we've both spent a sizable amount of pennies on lures today, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah, good selection of stuff.
Very much impressive. So. And I think what the whole Predator Tackle crew are good at is they know their market. They know that their market will be mainly UK, maybe Ireland thrown into that. So they know what their customers are buying. And most of what we saw today was applicable to what many of us would be doing. So in that sense, they know their audience, and you know, it was very, very, very busy in there at times today.
Yeah, heaving.
People spending money. It was sectionalized. So we had West End, and you had the Fox section, and Rapala, and all the various different sections, and they all had their own guys there.
And they were good guys, right?
Very much so.
From our experience of knowing some of them.
Yep.
They were the people that you'd want to go up to and ask about baits or techniques or just for a bit of general help.
Yep.
Like, they've got the right people in there. Like, that was good to see.
I think if anyone looking from a distance would say that, and maybe we should take this advice ourselves, but if someone wanted to know today about, I'm looking for a bit of advice on to up my pike catches this winter or this spring, you go and speak to Kev. Right, or maybe Tom, or there would have been others there as well that you could, you know, that Dan Brackley was there, as an example. So, these are guys that are out there doing it regularly, on water that is accessible to most of us. So, you can go and speak to these people and ask, and I'm sure all of them would have gladly given out, as much advice as they were able to.
They're the real pros because, you know, like we enjoyed talking to those people you just mentioned, like. So we were having conversations at our level, and it was really entertaining, for instance, to hear what Tom had been doing in his winter campaign. And then, you know, like, you know, your conversation would get interrupted, rightly so, because there's a 10-year-old lad there who wants to ask Tom a different question. Like it's all there, like, so important that they have the right people on those stands. And I think they nailed that.
That can make or break something, I think. If someone comes up and speaks to a pro staff, and I'm using that in inverted commas, because some of them are pro staff and others will be, what's the word I'm looking for?
Affiliated?
Yeah, I guess that's that kind of vibe, right? Is that if you had a bad experience with one of those people, you know, that makes a big difference, right? So, you know, in the wrong way. You know, that could put someone off. So, you know, particularly for younger players, I think even more so, really, is that, you know, they might be following these people on Facebook and Insta and stuff, and they can go and speak to them and ask them questions. And, you know, in our experience,
they're approachable and normal people.
Our experience, most of these are genuine, good people anyway, and it's nice to see that translate across. So, so that was really nice.
What else did we like? What did we like tackle-wise today? Anything stand
out? Yes, I enjoyed. What did I enjoy? So I guess my little shopping bag there would be more a better test of this.
Yeah,
but
true.
I picked up some of the mini Z-Man stuff, some of the little mini Neds and things
amazing
like that.
Amazing Z-Man display.
Very much so, yeah. So Z-Man is still riding high, right, it seems. It's still...
Yeah,
you know, it's still punching its weight, keeping itself up there with the other brands.
Yeah.
There was a nice strong show in there from Ilex, so we picked up some nice Ilex baits.
I enjoyed that. Yeah, there was some stuff there that I haven't seen for ages and ages, which I couldn't help myself restock a couple of items. That was good.
And Ilex stuff, so genuinely, it's good, very, very good as well. So that was nice. I've picked up a crankbait rod today. I've been after a specific crankbait rod for a while.
Well done with that.
Yeah. It took a bit of finding, but we found it. And it's something we were talking about, wasn't it? It was that I think the further we all progress, and if we're all dragging each other up here slowly in the UK, we're all pulling each other, keeping everyone with us. And we're not pulling anyone up, by the way. We're getting pulled up by the real winners out there, is that we will all start to seek out very specific tools for specific jobs.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking anyone today for saying that there wasn't 30 different crankbait rods that I could pick and choose between.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe the days of, like, you know, generic kind of all singing and dancing rods, all rounder rods, you know, we're all sort of looking ahead a little bit now and stuff like that. We saw some lovely Shimano rods on the Shimano stand, hard bait specific rods.
That was good. Actually, the Shimano stand was a real surprise. Like, I don't want to set the wrong standard for anyone who's walked on that stand. I mean, the fishing section was small. There's other stuff going on. Sorry, the lure section was small. There's other stuff going on, obviously, on Shimano in a very carp heavy dominated. Format, obviously, but there was some amazing stuff on the Shimano stand. I mean, I never expected to see a Conquest Monster Drive, like, in the UK, never mind at a fish and tackle show. That was amazing, just to see that. That caught my eye instantly. Next to it, I didn't even know what I was looking at. There was one of the new Shimano DC reels, digital casting reels, that I didn't even know that existed, and I bet my bottom dollar that was at Osaka, and it didn't land with me.
Register.
And there it was in the UK on the Shimano stand, like different selections for line types on the side of it to help with the different sort of braking profiles for each of those. Yeah, that was cool.
That was really cool.
My mind going.
Yeah,
that was good.
That was interesting. They had some cool stuff there. Which was nice to see, because that's a big player. You want to see your Shimanos, and, you know, really you should be seeing your Daiwas here and all that. You know, that Daiwa weren't here. Not a brand-specific store as such.
Going back to your crankbait rod, because the Shimano stand did have a very, very nice crankbait specific high-end rod on it, which unfortunately today wasn't available to purchase. That's, you know, that's the trade-off with these bigger companies. But yeah, going back to your point, yeah, it's not a buzzkill, it's not a negative, but I think that's one of my observations from today. Like, it's funny, I'm only just thinking about the connection here. Today, to me, felt like when you and I used to go to the French shows 10 years ago, and we loved all the rods we saw because they were all ultra fast. Yep. And that's what we loved at the time, because that's where we were in our development. Yep. And I feel like today, what we've just seen is that period where I reckon, I don't think it would be over the top to say 95% of lure fishing rods we saw today were fast or extra fast.
Mm.
Now, that's great.
Mm, yeah.
Like, we associate where we were in that journey.
I love a fast rod. Yeah.
But we're now at a point where we're trying to understand that you don't want fast and ultra fast for various techniques. And arguably, it's not like it's brand new science. This is almost where it started before fast rods turned up.
Exactly,
But I would say to everyone that that's something that we've got to broaden our horizons a little bit. And not all rush over one way and do one type. We're not all throwing soft plastics on jig heads on ultra fast rods. Like we need the whole lot. You need to be able to come to a show like this and have at least a selection of like a crankbait rod from each brand, right?
Yeah.
Because we know they do them,
of course.
But they weren't here.
Yeah.
And the reason that they weren't here is because the companies there didn't deem there being a demand.
That's right.
So it's our fault as anglers that we're not demanding those types of rods.
Yeah, exactly. I think today we would have seen Westin. I saw a couple of, let's call them Ned rods.
Yeah.
They had a couple. St. Croix. Who else are we looking at? So I'm watching a Mollix one.
It's Ned heavy, wasn't it?
Very Ned heavy today.
Ned heavy. We'll
and that's fine because, you know, if that's what people are asking for and they're catching on, then that's great. Going back to when Martin at Law Lounge first introduced into the UK Ned, or TRDs, as we know them as for Z-Man, and we collected our meat, myself, Paul Parnell would have been at the time and stuff like that, were crying out for specific Ned fishing rods, and we couldn't get them at all. So a lot of this stuff is baby steps, right? A lot of this stuff happens slowly. It creeps in slowly. And, of course, a Ned-specific rod can be used for a variety of other bottom contact jobs as well. So, you know, that might actually be the all-rounder rod that people have been screaming out for years.
Well, it's all-rounder if that's, as I'm talking generically, as UK lure anglers, if those are the styles that everyone's fishing, then your generic rod just needs to cover those. But
that's right.
I think I'm just flagging here. I'm not stressed about it. It's no massive drama, but I'm just waving a little amber flag here to say that's probably not a healthy way to be at this point.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I like most of what I saw. It was great to see St. Croix had a huge range there. And for all the JDM stuff that we will wax lyrical about often, you know, I've had a few St. Croix rods over the years, and particularly the Legend Extremes and the Elites and stuff like that. They are tools. They are really well built,
thought out rods. I can see
that. They're incredible things. So for folk, because I can imagine a lot of people will often do what I would do, what we all do, I imagine, on lure fishing websites, is you click something in your basket, but you won't commit to it. It's, it's £300 on a... Oh, I don't
it lives,
know.
It lives
don't
in the
know.
Checkout for 6 months.
And I would love to think that next week the guys at Predator will be seeing a lot of clicks in their shopping baskets of people ordering rods that they've seen this weekend, they've picked up, they've held and gone, do you know what? Yeah, that is for me. I think I'll pull the trigger next week. Do you know what I mean?
There will be that.
There'll be plenty of that going on.
We've
so that was nice.
That. Yeah.
Favorite had some nice rods there. Not the whole range, but they had a few some nice gear there. I think personality-wise, it was nice today. You know, we met a few past and present from the England team. Yeah, you know, that was nice. So, you know, that was great just to bump into people, really. That was kind of nice. The Law Fishing Circle is still relatively small in the UK.
And given that, you know, the common thread of conversation all day was, as you would expect, how appalling the weather's been this winter, especially if you like river fishing and such. But given that, given how atrocious the winter has delivered us weather-wise, like, I think everyone was in pretty good spirits.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah.
It felt buzzing. It's actually, if you think about this, it's the perfect time of year. Because it's that time, it's retail time, it's buying time, because our enthusiasm for the season ahead
is outweighing the...
can't be satisfied except by spending. So whether folk are up here and they've picked up one packet of plastics, or, as we heard today, someone's bought a W10 Westin rod for...
Fair play.
You know,
I think those start with a 7, don't they?
Yeah, you're not going to get a lot of change out of £1,000 out of one of those, right? Yeah. So you know, irrespective of what people are spending.
Yeah, the queues for the tills were impressive.
Massive.
I saw some serious cash changing hands. Those tills were ringing.
They were, and the boys and girls working on the tills, they were working hard.
Yeah.
And that's a fair test, isn't it? Because, you know, if all of a sudden... two of them are getting sent off on their break, we'll go for a cup of tea because they're not shifting. You know, because we have been to tackle shows over the years where that you can't buy, or that you can, but people won't buy because the range is so poor, for want of a better word. So, you know, there's a bit of that going on there.
That's another thing. We've both been to previous Big One events, and I think we've already said that, you know, the lure side of things was always historically, until I think last year, hopefully not being unfair on anyone, but was pretty bad. But it also didn't feel like sometimes at events, I feel like people, retailers are shifting gear that they need to shift on people when it's not really suitable. Mm. I didn't get that vibe at all today. And maybe that's because the range was so vast that,
yeah,
actually, whatever anyone wanted, they could. Well, yeah. I mean, you would have been at the extreme end wanting a specific crankbait rod, and you did get it. So, you know, maybe that's where it was different. I didn't see people like, I don't know how to put it in words without being disrespectful, but, you know, just stuff you look at it and you go, that's very unsuitable for most people. Like, it felt good. It felt aimed really good.
I was just thinking then about...
respect to predator tackle.
100%, because that, you know, I'm hoping and I'm sure that they break even on this weekend.
Yeah, hopefully.
Because despite the money going over the tills there, I would imagine it's still dicey whether they break even on a lot of this, because the amount of effort and shipping all this stuff up. Imagine shifting your whole tackle shop, aside from the four walls, transporting it to Farnborough and dropping it down and setting all that up. That's a big job, and massive respect to them. I was just thinking then about, was there any... did we see anything to say, well, do you know what, it seems very perch specific this weekend, or pike, or stuff like that? There was a fair range. There was some saltwater gear there, right, for bass anglers. I mean, Henry Gilby was there for savage gear and
went down well.
He went, and he's very much known for exclusively for bass angling. He did a little talk on bass fishing there.
Yeah.
A lot of big pike stuff, big replicants.
Yeah, all that was there.
Bordering.
But this is it. Like, as you start to unwind what was there, I think it was all there.
It was there for everyone.
Yeah, and maybe if we were looking at it the other way, like what wasn't there, wasn't a huge amount of LRF gear, was there?
No, there wasn't. That's a fair point, actually. Yeah, there wasn't a specific... I mean, you could have made it work for LRF gear there. If someone was coming this weekend and thinking, I'm stocking up for some LRF stuff for the summer, you would have got some drop shot baits and small hooks and bits and pieces, but you would have had to have dug around for that. There wasn't an LRF section.
It wasn't specialist LRF stuff.
Yeah. So that's, you're right, that is interesting. I guess that maybe speaks to Predator Tackle's core market.
Yeah, although I did see at least one person walking around with a big Lurf hoodie. Oh,
well, there you go then. Yeah.
So there were people present.
And if they wanted small baits, there were small stuff available, that, you know, light game.
Yeah.
Without it being specific. like game. That was all there. Ian there, Ian Crook from Hummingbird. So, yes, you know, and they were, and he had all your 360 stuff and your forward facing sonar stuff there. And I'm sure that he said that he was shifting some units today. You know, people were opening their wallets and buying stuff, but there were people walking away from that thinking, that was interesting. I'm going to drop some money this summer on one of those, because it's very, very, you know, I know you're a Lowrance man, but the Hummingbird gear is...
I'm contractually not allowed to join this part of the conversation.
I will say that the Hummingbird stuff is impressive. I will be fair and say it's as impressive as the Lowrance stuff.
Oh, I can't even get involved.
I'm being
that.
Fair. That's just being fair.
Fine.
I've got Lowrance stuff.
True. Yeah. Moving on from that. That was good, because you would, you know, forward facing sonar, like, it has been a, let's just say, topic of debate in the last 12 months.
Yeah, I think we can do a whole pod on this.
And I hope, hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with Crookie at a later date. But I would hope some people were brave enough to kind of come up to Ian and, you know, what is this forward facing sonar all about? Because he had some demo modes there, and he had the kit available, and, you know, might just tempt a few people into, rather than just the keyboard warriors attacking it that it's the death of fishing, they might have found out what a tool it is.
And be interested in it. And you actually made a point to Ian while we were talking to him, is that when it comes to, unfortunately, this pod will go out too late for anyone who's coming tomorrow. So, but all I would say is, looking forward, if anyone's considering that kind of stuff, and you want to speak to someone who knows about networking and all that kind of stuff, Ian is a bit of a legend with that kind of stuff when it comes to connectivity, specifically with Hummingbird Mines. So if anyone's looking forward and you want to find Ian somewhere, and he will give you some solid gold advice.
He'll regret that you've said that, no doubt. But he's a nice guy. I don't think he'll turn you away. He really knows his stuff.
Ian might turn you away, but that's not my business. If Ian turns you away, that's entirely down to him.
Yeah. What else did we like? I bought a £5 sterling custard croissant, and no one is more surprised than me that it lived up to its price tag. It was,
speaks volumes.
It was possibly the
that
best
speaks volumes.
Custard.
How much was the beer? You paid for
didn't
the beer.
Look.
Okay.
Yeah, I just whacked it on the card and walked away.
You'll wait for that bank statement to come in.
I won't even wait to look at that either. Yeah.
That's fair. All
I enjoyed it.
From the last time I came here, whether it's Predator Tackle, whether it's the exhibitors here, whether it's the Big One organisation, I don't know who's responsible. I suggest it's probably Predator Tackle. They have pulled that section up by its bootstraps and made a real success of it. And as you've said, you know, much respect to them, because that's, in some ways, a lot of people might have thought that was a fool's errand. But they've done it. It was busy. There was tons of cool stuff there. I like to go, you know, I didn't buy any Westin rods today, but I like to go and see from the bottom to the top.
Yeah.
And see what that's about. I enjoy that, you know, similarly with the St. Croix stuff. I like to go and look at the entire range of Rapala trout baits that they've got out. You know, not that I'm buying any of that stuff, but some of that will plant a seed in the future. And I might go, do you know what? Actually, I might have a job for that.
Yeah.
And I find that really interesting. So, because it's very, there's nothing like picking it up and feeling it and touching it than it is looking at an image on a screen.
Well, I was going to say the same. I mean, that, you know, I like that, or rather I miss it, because, you know, our worlds have even more of our worlds moved online. But there was a lure today which will remain nameless because it's not fair, but it was on my shopping list. And if I'd have bought it online, I would have just put it in the basket, paid for it and got it. It turns out way smaller than it was in my mind, even though I had the, you know, this how big it was, and I didn't end up buying it because it wasn't going to do the job that I thought it was, and you know, that's a negative story. But you know, there are other things where you've probably written it off, and then you see, I mean, like, whoa, that's way better than I thought.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that has huge value, I think. So yeah, again, another gold star for Predator Tackle.
Yeah, absolutely. But there was way more besides. We've missed stuff. There were guys there with with boats. Reuben Heaton were there. People could go and get their scales calibrated. Whether they're getting their measures calibrated or not, that's a different story for another day. We had to jovially talk about it. It's the elephant in the room, man. We can't. That's it. That's as much as I'm going to talk about it. But yeah, there was. So they were there representing, which was nice, and all that kind of stuff. And there was, like I say, way more besides than what we've just covered there.
Yeah.
People doing talks on tanks, throwing laws in the.
Yeah, I'm a bit gutted we didn't really get. I mean, we were, yeah, we were chin wagging most of the day.
Yeah.
Regret. Well, actually, that's another yardstick for today is I couldn't believe how quickly the day went, and it was clearly shutting down and we'd run out of time.
Yeah, and yeah, that's it. And we're looking at it now and it's 5:10 and we're probably going to get chucked out the car park in a minute.
We might
be locked in here forever and might be spending the night back in there again. But it feels good. I've bought some nice stuff.
Yeah.
What more does anyone want from a tackle show, right? And hopefully, you know, other brands, other places will get involved and, you know, we'll start pinching a bit of that carp territory that's going on inside the other room there.
Yeah. Actually, that was a thing that I thought, what can you do about it? But yeah, I was a bit gutted that, so we haven't really explained the layout, but the lure side of things was in its own area, but not in a negative way, like it was sizable.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't on the main thoroughfare of like the other angling disciplines. Like I would have loved to have seen a few more of those maybe get tempted in by the shiny, colourful stuff.
Yeah.
But what can you do about it? It's a pointless gripe. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen that.
That's true, yeah.
Because I think there's crossover potential. We're hearing it, aren't we? I can't remember what sources we've heard it from. But you know, we hear that, you know, lure fishing has, you know, there's people starting to cross over from carp now because there's interesting stuff going on.
Of course. Yeah, of course. If there's... We all have our favourites, our likes and dislikes when it comes to fishing. I'm not a carp angler. I've got no real interest in carp angling, but I will stand there and talk to someone if they're into carp fishing for half an hour because it's fishing, right? And it's interesting and it's all relatable in a way.
Yeah.
So we do hear a lot about that, is that, you know, specimen carp anglers will want to get into specimen perch fishing, and then that's a natural path that it will lead them down the lure angling side of things. So hopefully people's curiosity will have got the better of them and they're looking on their little site map and their map of the day and go, do you know what? Yeah, we'll have a look in there. Why not? Do you know what I mean? And see if they can pick up a few bargains. Mm-hmm. That said, it was nice to be in a room that wasn't full of camouflage.
yeah, it was a bit bad.
God bless them. Bless them all, every one of them. But
we were saying, weren't we? Like we were chatting, I think we were trying to find someone to eat or drink or something, and we were beating our way through the masses in the carp room there, or predominantly carp room. And we said in our chat, like, you've got to applaud them for, like, you know, the carp industry for how it's evolved and maximized that opportunity from a business perspective. There is everything, isn't there?
Yep.
Like,
they have rinsed it.
Shoes. There was one massive stand that only did electronics for carp fishing. And I don't mean, like, buzzers and... everything.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? I don't even know what half the stuff was on that stand, but it was a giant stand, just an electrics company.
And bait boats was huge.
Bait boats everywhere. Yeah.
You know, and I guess that's maybe, we don't really want to go down a carp fishing rabbit hole, do we, I suppose? But it's not, because it's not in our lane.
I wouldn't know what to say.
No, but I do get it where folk get into carp fishing and fish and tackle aside, you can get your bait boat and your bivvy and your bed. And we were seeing little air conditioning units today.
Air conditioning
ice machines. You know, all the stuff, heaters, kettles, blah, 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 bang, bang, bang. And it's, we all know, and this may be, I don't wish to gender this, but let's be honest, it's a trait of a bloke, of a man, is that they go all in on something. They get the lot, right?
Yeah.
The whole, and if they're going out and they're spending 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 nights camping up, Well, they want their home comforts with them. They want to be able to cook their dinner, and they want to be able to do this, and they want to be able to power their phone up, and they want to be able to make a cup of tea. Because let's face it, it's camping, but with a fishing rod. So that show there shows me, because I don't visit these carp specialist fishing tackle shops to be au fait with what's going on in that world necessarily. And you just get a little glimpse of it in there. And you're quite right, you're like, wowzers, because they are... It's a bit glitzier, and I find that an odd thing to say when we're talking about modern lure fishing. We should be glitzier than what they are, but they are. They've got the bright lights, and they've got the drum and bass music, and they've got it all going on in there, right? Do you know what I mean? And they've got, let's be honest, you know, they've got the girls on the stands, right?
You're right, yeah. We're not reached that part of the evolution.
No, yet, and they've got that sewn up. They've really got that nailed down, and more power to them, right? Because I saw a lot of younger people, young lads, walking around that carp section. Noticeably so. And when it comes to kids, whether they're 12, 13, 14, 15, whether they're dads or not, I'm all just get into fishing, boys and girls. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Just get into fishing, because it's to all of our benefits that you get into it, because you're the ones that have got to carry it forward. So yeah, that was quite exciting, is maybe a strong word, but you know, encouraging was certainly there with it. But maybe it means that in the law sector, that we need to up our game a little bit here, because we for the past few years have really cornered that market of being a little bit colourful rods, colourful clothing. You don't need camo doing most of what we do. Do you know what I mean? All that kind of stuff. You know, pimp this, pimp that, niche this. And maybe the carp sector have seized upon that and thought, well, actually, we'll have a little bit of this. Thank you very much.
I wonder what opens that up. Is that the volume? Is that the amount of cash going through carp maybe facilitates some gambling or a bit more investment? But
maybe they work out their age range of their audience, or of their market. You know, if that age range is dropping.
I should be clear. I don't think I'm down about it, like comparing lure fishing with carp from what we've seen today. I just think we're at an earlier stage of that liftoff.
This isn't anything. This isn't me mocking or knocking.
When you reach carp levels of mainstream, you're going to get all the whistles and bells come through.
You're going to be there, right? And, yeah, exactly. This isn't me knocking it. It's about looking at where collectively we could be. Could be at. A massive omission today in... I'm talking general sea fishing stuff.
Yeah,
we saw some bass baits, lures and stuff like that. But in that main area there, I didn't see anything that would... I didn't see any beach gear.
Undoubtedly, there would have been.
I'm sure there was, but it wasn't...
No, it wasn't obvious.
In our face, you know?
Yeah.
So that, again, there's only so much room here. And... you know, ultimately, first come, first serve, and, you know, the people that are here, the people are here, and I'm sure they're doing just fine, thanks. But, and would it have necessarily taken up half my day if there'd been, you know, if Tronix were here, as an example? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I might have given it half an hour and had a flick through, but I wouldn't have spent tons of time there. Mm. So, you know, the big one fishing show, let's be quite clear about this, is 70% carp fishing, some other stuff, cake shops, sausage rolls, angling trust, bits and pieces.
Holidays.
And now Law Live, you know, with Predator Tackle. There is room for everything here. But interestingly, when I was speaking to a couple of guys in the tackle shop yesterday, I said, oh, are you heading up to the big one the weekend? And they caught me answering, you know, like, there won't be anything there for me.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right? Because there's no presence.
Yeah.
From the sea angling, I'm talking that as a wide. That's a big circle of sea angling, you know, in that side of things. So,
which comes first, chicken and the egg, isn't it? Like you can't expect it. I think we touched on this last time when we were talking about George. You need people like George, people like Predator Tackle that are willing to take that leap of faith and start it to get people to come and then build it from there. But like you say, if the chaps in your local sea fishing shop are always saying there's nothing there, then they're not going to come, are they?
Well, equally, forgive me, because we didn't cover every quarter of the bigger room, so we probably there might have been a little corner place there that had some real, you know, some real boss beach gear, boat gear, whatever, and we've just missed it because we weren't paying attention. That's
too busy eating cake.
Yeah, we're too busy eating cake, and that is very likely that that has happened. I think that the difference being here is that Predator Tackle have dragged the brands in with them. This isn't the brands leading this. This is a retailer.
True.
Leading that. So maybe the more successful this becomes for Predator Tackle, essentially, that the brands themselves will seek to feel that, well, actually we might need a little piece of this here, because there's footfall, there's money to be made. That's the driving factor, right? Is there money to be made out of it?
Yeah.
So if there isn't any money to be made out of it, there's no point in being here. So so that was that. But I've really enjoyed it, mate. Really enjoyed it. It's been a good day. There was a good vibe, good atmosphere. We bumped into some old friends and bits and pieces, you know, which is always lovely, isn't it? When you're just wandering around and you get that nudge on the shoulder and you catch up with a few people. They're all back here tomorrow. And we can hide our stuff away from our wives and pretend that we didn't buy anything.
That's the next job.
Yeah. So we'll, I don't know how far we're into this now because I can't see the counter. But we might back this up a little bit. We might put it out as a little standalone once we find an intro for it. But anyway, I'm going to go home. We'll see you all next time.
Yeah, good day, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Me again. I hope that was all right and didn't take away too much from what really was a good, encouraging day up at the big one show at Farnborough there. Top effort from all the boys and girls at Predator Tackle there, because that looked a really difficult weekend, just logistically as much as anything else. But I hope we got that across a little bit, and I hope that the good people at Predator Tackle earned a quid or two, because that would be what they were there for after all. So I really hope that everyone benefited out of that. We certainly did. It was a great day. So as it turns out, obviously the front of my van isn't the best place to record an outside broadcast, but you know, it kind of keeps with the theme a little bit of our little shabby chic podcast we got going on. Please get in touch with either Adam or myself. Just search for Adam Kirby, Facebook and Insta, or Dan Sissons on the same. But probably the easiest way, or maybe the quickest way to garner my attention, is our email address, which is dnafishingpod@gmail.com. We've got a question which we will be answering on the next episode, hopefully this week, regarding the free rig, which I know is going to lead us down a rabbit hole. It's one of our favourite methods. I'm recording this on the day that the Bassmaster Classic is finishing right now, so maybe we'll do a little bit of a dive into that and see if we can harness some information from when it all starts to drop, regardless of who the winner is. But I've been, like many of you, I guess, I've been watching it hard and fast today, and it's been really interesting to watch what's going on there. We never asked this, but please subscribe if you can, if you can be bothered, that is. We don't mind. We understand this is very much a self-serving vanity project, but subscribers is where it's at, apparently, in the podcast world. So if you take a minute to subscribe, tell your friends and all that kind of stuff, and we will reward you on the next episode while revealing our little JDM giveaway. So thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate every single one of you, and we'll be back with you very soon. Take care. Bye.